Support for Southbound comes from WFAE members and Southeast Radiation Oncology Group, offering non-invasive alternatives to surgery and treatments in radiation oncology. Details at treatcancer.com.
So like someone like me who is a recovering addict, I get high off of peppers. And there's none of the big books out there have anything to say about peppers because I enjoy that rush.
Hey, y'all, I'm Tommy Tomlinson. And from WFAE in Charlotte, this is Southbound. On a patch of farmland down in South Carolina, a man named Ed Curry grows the hottest peppers on earth. The Guinness Book of World Records says so. They've certified his pepper called the Carolina Reaper as the hottest ever measured. During this episode, I try some sauce made from those peppers. The sauce is called Chocolate Plague. I'm relieved to still be here to tell you about it. But the real story here is about Ed Curry's search for heat, to satisfy some of his cravings in life, and to cleanse some others. It worked in ways he never expected. Here's our conversation. Ed Curry, I wanted to start here. What's the first memory you have of something you ate that was really hot?
All right. Well, the very first memory of eating something very hot was I went to a restaurant called the West East in Orchard Lake, Michigan. It was a Vietnamese restaurant. Family got relocated right after the Vietnam War. He was a general. And I told them I wanted it as hot as it came. And they said, no. And I said, yes. And, I tried this dish of, there were cellophane noodles and some fish in it, and it lit me up. The very first bite had me sweating and panting. I thought I was going to die. But I have a propensity for addiction, so I just kind of kept on going. And once I tried something that was truly hot, I was hooked.
And my understanding is, if I remember this right, from what I've read, is that you sort of turn to spicy food, hot food, in an attempt to sort of turn your life around in some way.
Well,
is that right?
Initially, it wasn't to turn my life around. It was to keep my life going. My parents told me I was going to die of heart disease or cancer, and I better do something about it. And I researched in a place called the library at college.
That yeah, crazy place.
Yeah, well,
I've heard of them.
Yeah, people don't know about those things anymore, but I did research, and that research led me to peppers because the indigenous populations around the equator that have not been westernized, even though they smoke and drink, they don't have any indices of heart disease or cancer. So one thing I could standardize was capsaicin, so that started the journey.
And the reason your parents were worried about you, were you overeating or drinking a lot or a little bit of everything?
I was an addict from day one. By the time I was in junior high, I was using every day. So, even though I was a smart kid, I was always in trouble.
How did that go from like a personal thing into a business thing?
All right. Well, in 1999, I got clean. I stopped drinking and doing drugs. And it was put upon my heart, that I needed to get back into peppers seriously. I'd always grown peppers and made hot stuff and been on the peripherals of the industry, but
you've been working in other fields.
Yeah, mostly the financial field. Mm-hmm. I needed money to do what I needed to do.
Right.
But it went into my heart, and then I moved down here again, and I met a girl who didn't want to talk to me. She called me a funny little man and wouldn't give me the time of day, but I heard she liked salsa, and I had peppers and tomatoes and stuff growing, and I made some salsa. She loved it. We got married 9 months later, and the business started.
Yeah. And when you started, what was your idea? Just to try, I know now you sort of traffic in basically the world's hottest peppers. But when you started, what was your idea?
Well, honestly, I was looking for, there's a key on certain capsaicinoids that fits in cancer cells. And when you can get them together, it causes an autoimmune sequence. So I was actually looking for that, but I was making hot sauce and salsa for my wife's friends and breeding out the Carolina. I actually was working not too far from here at the time, and a woman from the island of St. Vincent gave me a pepper that I started breeding out with other really hot peppers, and that turned out to be the Carolina Reaper. Mm-hmm. And other peppers that are even hotter. But that sent me on a journey of, okay, we can do something with this instead of just going to farmers markets and all that, because there was a niche out there that needed to be filled, and I now had the thing that could fill it.
Yeah. I read something from a few years ago that said that at the time you had sort of commandeered like your neighbor's backyards and all this stuff as your kind of business grew. How does that work, and what are you doing now?
Well, I started in my wife's yard before we got married. I put about 800 plants in her yard. And as the neighbors kind of looked over, I said, oh, let me use your yard next year. I'll pay you a little money. And eventually I had 9 yards on the block that were filled with peppers. We literally had about 8,000 peppers in people's backyards. And then one of the neighbors said, oh, I got some land down in Chester. Do you want to, you can put a farm down there. It's farmland. And so I think it was 2004 or 2005, somewhere around there. I started farming an 8-acre plot in Chester by myself. I'd work up here at the CIC and get out early, maybe 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, drive all the way to Chester and work my field. At that point, we were selling every weekend. There was a 3-day farmer's market. I had a couple employees. They were selling hot sauce for me, and we were making making some money with it. And I started, I got a hold of Dr. Calloway from Winthrop University, because this pepper that I had invented was making people get sick left and right. And I said,
I just want to describe to our listeners, he says that with like an evil grin on his face. It's making people sick.
Well, I'm quite known for pranking people with hot stuff, In the industry, there's a saying, if Ed Curry tries to hand it to you, don't eat it.
Great.
I'm going to hand you some stuff, too.
I was just thinking about that.
But this is not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it probably is, but it's not. Compared to what I normally do, it is not.
All right. So now, do you still have that 8 acres down there? What's your operation look like?
Well, actually, we're letting that go fallow right now. Our operation, we partnered up with the Springs Farm in Fort Mill, and I've turned about 120 acres or so into organic land down there. And we've got the USDA says it's the largest hot pepper farm in the U.S. right now that's organic.
And so I think I interrupted your story or kind of wandered around from it about going to a professor and trying to get some sort of measurement. Mm-hmm. Of how hot your peppers were, and what, how did that go about?
Well, I actually had been calling around to a bunch of universities. I needed a machine called an HPLC, High Performance Liquid Chromatograph, to measure the Scoville heat units of the pepper. Everywhere wanted a lot of money, or they wanted me to sign over rights or things like that. And I called to, I think it was Wake he was at the time, and the guy who answered the phone said, well, what do you need an HPLC for? And I told him, what I was doing. And he said, well, you know where Winthrop University is? And I said, yeah, it's right down the street. He goes, well, I'm the chemistry professor there. Why don't we meet in 2 weeks and discuss this? And we decided to make it a project for graduate students to measure all the different types of peppers I've been breeding out. So that started, we had been going about 3 years before anything became public. One of the students, Laquita, asked if she could publish a poster about her study of my peppers, and that's when it came out that the Carolina Reaper was actually the hottest thing in the world by far.
And explain to people who may not know about all this about Scoville units and that sort of thing, and try to give us some perspective on, pretty much everybody's had like a jalapeno, mm-hmm. or something like that. How does this stuff compare?
All right. Well, like a jalapeno, for example, is between 3 and 8,000 Scoville heat units. And that unit is a measurement, how many ounces of liquid it takes to dilute the pepper before you can't taste any heat. Okay? So it's between 3 and 8,000 Scoville on a jalapeno. Your average habanero is really only about 60 to 80,000 Scoville heat units. The peppers we're talking about are, they average between 1.6 and 2.5 million Scoville heat units. So it's the difference between a tricycle and the space shuttle. Okay,
right.
There's no comparison at all.
Yeah, and I don't know if this requires, I don't want you to obviously give away trade secrets here, but how is that done? Is it basically, as you said, crossbreeding?
Crossbreeding.
So you find like two peppers that are really hot and then you put them together somehow?
Actually, it's not two peppers that are really hot. I look for the attributes we're looking for to help with the medical research. And those peppers go together. One of the geneticists thinks I've stumbled upon the equation that expresses the capsaicinoid genes in peppers. We're doing research on that. It doesn't work all the time, so it's really more of a God thing, you know.
Well, I've heard you talk about, you know, in other interviews and stuff, your faith and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. I don't know how to ask this question without it sounding weird. Does the experience of having something really hot like this, that sort of hallucinatory thing that people talk about and sometimes experience, does that feel like a spiritual experience to you?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a spiritual experience. What people are talking about when they say they're hallucinating or whatever, capsaicinoids also fill the dopamine receptors in your brain. That releases huge amounts of endorphin and dopamine into your body. So like someone like me who is a recovering addict, you know, I get high off of peppers. And there's none of the big books out there have anything to say about peppers, you know, because I enjoy that rush. But someone who's normal, that it gets them high kind of like a narcotic. So that's what they're feeling. But for me, yeah, peppers are a spiritual experience. I was at the greenhouse 4:30 this morning, you know, and I sit there and I work on my plants and I'm praying the whole time. You know, it's. Some people call it communing with nature. I choose to call it communing with God. Whoever you want to commune with, that's your own personal choice. But for me, that's when I'm closest to God, when I'm working in the garden.
When we come back, I make a really bad decision and have a taste of Ed Curry's Chocolate Plague hot sauce. Say a little prayer for me, y'all. That and more ahead on Southbound.
Support for Southbound comes from WFAE members and Southeast Radiation Oncology Group, offering non-invasive alternatives to surgery and treatments in radiation oncology. Details at treatcancer.com.
Support also comes from WFAE members and Foundation for the Carolinas, managing charitable giving for families and companies, administering nonprofit endowments, and supporting civic efforts like affordable housing and economic mobility. More at fftc.org. If you'd like to be part of the Southbound community, we'd love to hear from you. You can suggest ideas for future guests on our homepage at wfae.org/southbound. Or you can reach me directly. Email me at ttomlinson@wfae.org or tweet at me at Tommy Tomlinson. What really helps us is if you leave us a good rating and review on Apple Podcasts or the NPR One app. That helps Southbound get out there to even more listeners. Thanks for all your support. Now, back to our conversation with Ed Curry. I feel like I've put this off long enough.
Mm-hmm.
I need to try one of these things. I have brought some tortillas. We had tacos at work the other day, and I brought something to like dab it with or whatever. And I have some water, and I also brought a little milk, which I'm told, you're shaking your head.
Yeah.
So why? Well, now, go ahead.
Our body is not meant to process large amounts of carbohydrates, okay? So milk, people say the fat in milk helps dissipate the capsaicinoids. All it does is convey it to more places. And then we wind up chugging a lot of milk and we get sick and we blame it on the pepper and not the huge quantity of milk that you drank at one time.
Now you tell me. So before I do this, then, if this, for somebody who gets in the situation where it's bad, what should they do?
Citric acid, I find, works the best, and a lot of people have found the same experience. So like lime juice, lemon juice, grapefruit juice. It doesn't make it go away. It just makes it go away faster because the capsaicinoids are in an oleo resin, and the acid breaks up the oleo resin, and the whole exchange, chemical exchange, goes away.
Well, if I flee the studio here, you'll know that I'm headed for the nearest convenience store looking for the orange juice or something.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time.
So tell me what I'm looking at here.
Okay, well, this one's called the chocolate pig. It's a pepper I helped breed out with another guy, and we stabilized it. It's currently the number 9 sauce on a TV show. And it's a really tasty pepper. I mean, it's a delicious pepper. But it is hot, and I let the vinegar rise to the top, so you could just pour out a little bit.
Just pour out a little dab here.
Yeah, you only need a little dab.
Yeah. I saw on your website that you rank these like 1 to 5, and...
Those rankings mean nothing.
Governor's rankings mean nothing? Okay. Yeah. But if you were to do this, where would this be here?
Well, on a 1 to 10, I would say it's a 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
See, we actually put those rankings on there because so many people complained that we didn't have rankings. But it keeps on. We keep on making it hotter, so the old 5 is now a 1 compared to the new 5.
Right.
You know.
Right. So let me just describe here. I've put just a little drop or two of this on this little piece of tortilla. It's not thick. It's sort of clear.
The rest is thick.
The rest is thick.
That's what. I'm letting the vinegar go up.
Are you doing me a
I'm doing
a solid
your favor.
Here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So here we go.
See what I mean? It's actually a tasty pepper.
I do feel flavor for sure. There's a pepper flavor there. But I'm also most definitely feeling the heat of it right now.
Yeah, if you had gotten the thick part, you'd
be... If I got the thick part, it would be worse.
Yes.
It's not cool right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say it's a little I do feel a burn for sure.
Your whole color has changed.
Is it? Am I
all the way down? I've been watching it go down all the way down your neck. You turned red.
I can definitely feel that. It's not I think I'm going to survive, but it's certainly, I do now feel a little sweat coming in, kind of top of the ears and that sort of thing. I have to say, this may be a very bad decision, but I do want to try a little bit of the thicker part just to see. That one, you're holding out another one that I think is probably worse.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to dip a little to get just a little of the thicker tomato.
Now, those things you're experiencing, like the sweat coming out.
Yeah.
See, that's one of the reasons the populations around the equator eat the peppers, because it helps them sweat, and then they cool down because of their climate. It also raises your metabolism up to 30%. So it's good for, you know, keeping that heart pumping. And there's a doctor up in Connecticut who's developed a weight loss program based in capsaicinoids.
I appreciate you talking because that is much hotter.
Yeah.
The thick part is the tomatoey part. Whew.
Now your eyes are red now, too.
I'm getting a little.
And they dilated on you.
Yeah, I'm getting a little. I'm seeing the world is blurring a little bit in front of me here.
Your mucous membranes might start running, you know.
I have a handkerchief at the ready.
Okay.
In case I need to do anything.
I always carry one.
I've found you work with that show, The Hot Ones, right?
Yes, I do.
And I have found that that's sort of addictive to watch on YouTube. The idea of the show, as you know, is... celebrities are on there and they eat progressively hotter chicken wings dabbed with different sauces, some of which are y'all's, right?
Yeah, we make the mild one called the classic.
Uh-huh.
We also make the hottest one called the last dab. The one you tried is number 9 on the show this year.
Yeah.
And just about everyone in between we supply the peppers for to those makers.
So, that's pretty strong.
Yeah.
I'm definitely feeling that. I was telling somebody before, heat to me, you know, is like a couple of dashes of Texas Pete and the chili. This is a whole different world.
Well, let me give you a comparison. Texas Pete, which is a great staple sauce, we keep it at our house, is less than 1% pepper.
Yeah.
That bottle's 92% pepper.
Yeah, I feel that other 91% for sure.
Yeah. So our sauces are a lot different. A lot of people call our sauces purees because even our mildest sauce, which is a jalapeno-based sauce, we still have 55% pepper in there.
Yeah.
So 55% pepper compared to a 1% pepper makes it seem a whole lot hotter to the individual, even though by Scoville, it's really not that much hotter.
Yeah, I'm starting to sniffle a little bit here.
Yeah.
If I break down in tears in the middle of this, just, you know, it's you okay. Keep talking and just take the show over.
I can do that for you.
I wanted to ask now, my understanding is I know there's a community of sorts built up around all this stuff. And they're like, I guess, conventions and conferences where people go to try, like, whatever the hottest thing is and that sort of thing.
I'm going actually to Chicago at the end of the month. The Chicago Hot Sauce Expo is going to be out in, I think it's Oak Park or Oak Lawn outside of Chicago by the soccer stadium. And there's probably going to be 10 to 20,000 what they call chili heads.
Right.
That are going to come out there and they're going to try sauces from about 50 different makers, purchase whatever, you know. We get a lot of business at these shows. I'm also going to run a Guinness event there where a bunch of people are going to try to eat the most Reapers in 1 minute and keep them held down for a minute.
I was going to say, what's like the craziest thing you've seen or watched at one of these things?
That's definitely the craziest. We run this, you know, it's funny because the first year we had it, I did it, which was probably one of the stupidest things I've ever done. And then they told me because I'm the sponsor of the contest, I can't be the record holder. So I did the whole thing for nothing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but... It's a brutal contest. Everybody who participates in it gets sick. They all know ahead of time they're going to be getting sick.
Right.
But some people, you know, whether it's ego or I want to overcome this hurdle in my life or whatever, they get up there and they try. There's one man, Greg Foster, who's done it every single contest.
Wow.
He currently holds the record. He hasn't come close to breaking his own record since, but he does it every time, and he gets sick for an hour, and then he's fine again.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there's a community of growers like you who are, you have competitors, right? You have people kind of all over the world who are at least attempting to grow something as hot or hotter. That's what you grow, right? Hot sauce is a big business.
Yeah, hot sauce is a big business. A lot of people don't know hot sauce and salsa overtook ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise in the United States in 2004.
Wow.
Okay, and worldwide, I think it was in 2006 or 7. It's the fastest growing food segment in the United States. We supply major manufacturers. With super hot products that they're putting out to the general public. Because there's really like three different kinds of markets for it. There's the chili heads who just enjoy the flavor of pepper and eat peppers with every meal and then do stupid stuff, you know. There's thrill seekers, you know, those millennials and that kind of age that climb rocks with their fingers, you know, they climb mountains and they do stupid stuff, you know, for the thrill of it. And they find out that doing peppers is a thrill, you know, and then there's like the general public that I don't know if you remember back in the 90s, the early 90s, late 80s, they opened up to immigration from Africa and from,
excuse me.
No problem.
It's hit the back of my throat now and I'm really feeling it.
Mm-hmm. You had like the Asia Minor, Africa, the Caribbean, all got opened up and immigration started. Like when I grew up, you couldn't find a Thai restaurant, okay?
Yeah.
But now there's a Thai restaurant on every corner. You couldn't find African food, but you can find it all over the place now. So the general public has been getting exposed to hotter and hotter foods, and they're finding that when they try something hotter, they really like it. because for cooking, it's really good. Like, I don't recommend eating Carolina Reapers whole. They're stupid,
right?
But if you slice them up and use them in your food when you're cooking, just a little teeny bit, it lights up a whole pot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's that culinary experience is really coming on strong.
And how about you personally? Like, can you, have you sort of, I think about people who've, you know, the legends about people get bit by snakes so many times that they don't even feel it anymore. I'm sort of losing my voice here too. And do you have that sort of, have you built up any immunity to all this?
I've been told medically there's no way to build up the immunity. However, I know your receptors can build up immunity to it. The receptors that are in my mucous membranes are not triggering off. But the stuff that you're experiencing right now, like the sweat and your eyes glazing over and the, you know, the runny nose and stuff, I get that every time. There's no way to stop that. That's a physical reaction that happens all the time.
So is there an upper limit to this? Is there stuff that you have made or theoretically could make that would just be unfit for humans to eat?
I used to think the high range was in the 4 millions that you could do a pepper, but we've already tested them over that. And what my research is showing is we can probably get one up in the 8 million range. But I don't think there's a family out there that I can get any hotter. I think I've found the one that I can get that hot. But.
Uh-huh. And so that's still, I know you mentioned a Pepper X or something. Is that just a secret project you're working on?
Or? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Right now we've tested 9 peppers that are hotter than the Reaper. And then we've got 2 more in the development stage that we're pursuing that are even hotter than those 9. The Reaper is the record. I don't see a reason to really shoot myself in the foot.
I mean, does there have to be some, I don't know what the right word is, stability?
Do you have to
be able to grow several generations of it or something?
Yeah, at least 8 generations. At least 8. And you have to have data for all those 8 to prove that it's really its own crossbreed. And then you can submit it to Guinness after that with 3 years' worth of data. And testimony from botanists and geneticists and chemists. It's really, my pursuit is more for the medical side. Even though, like, what everybody's calling Pepper X, which might or might not be the name, right now we're waiting on a patent to come back for that. If the patent comes back, it's still going to be only in the hot one sauce because I made a promise to my friends that I wouldn't sell that pepper to anybody else as long as they're using it on the show, you know? I don't want to go back on that until I get the patent, you know? And they might want the next pepper in line for the next season, you know? And then we can release Pepper X. I found keeping my word to my friends is more important than the disappointment of 100 emails every day for people looking for seeds.
Right.
It's more of a personal thing now than you'd mentioned the Chilihead community. It's some days everybody's with you, some days everybody's not with you. It ebbs and flows just like any other community.
We kind of talked around this a couple of different ways, but what do you think it is that people
excuse me,
get out of this pursuit, you know, that trying to eat something that's hotter and hotter and chasing the more and more spicy thing? What do you think is the, or what do you think people are looking for?
Well, it depends on which group they fall into. The addicts, just like any other drug or alcohol or anything like that. When you do 6 beers, sometimes 6 isn't enough, and you got to start doing 8, and that's not enough. You got to start doing 10. So the hotter it gets, you get the same pleasure out of it. Those thrill seekers are just looking for new limits to break. It's another check mark on their list, you know. Honestly, 2 years ago, my kids asked me to do karate. They were 6 and 4 at the time. Karate is easy for them. That was 53. Karate is not easy. But, you know, now that I've done it, I'm doing more and more exciting things, you know. I'm not so worried about getting kicked in the head by a black belt. I'm looking, okay, maybe I want to start using weapons, you know, that kind of thing. So it's more of an achievement thing for another group. And then, like the foodies, Texas Pete just isn't doing it anymore.
Right.
Okay, and then they try something, you know, like say, there's great sauces in the grocery store. Melinda's is one of them. Melinda's is delicious, but there's a limit to where Melinda's goes or Tabasco goes. And you got to come to the people who specialize in super hots to get past those limits that you can get in the grocery store.
So is this something that you feel like is your turned out to be your sort of life's mission? Do you see yourself just keeping pursuing the hotter and better and all that sort of thing?
I will pursue the hottest thing until the day I die, yes. And hopefully it'll be big enough that I can pass it on to my children. I don't think either of them are going to want to pursue anything hot, but hopefully there'll be a nice business there for them.
That reminds me, so when you guys are just sitting around the dinner table, mm-hmm. does any of this stuff go in the food a lot, or are there very different tolerances in your family?
Very different tolerances. I make food for everybody. There's usually not just my family at the dinner table. There, you know, some days there's six of us, some days there's 20 of us, you know. But I make food for everybody, and then we break out the peppers and the sauce, and everybody goes to their own. But like my wife, when I met her, she wouldn't eat a super hot thing. She thought Texas Pete was hot. Now she's cutting off little teeny pieces of really, 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 you know, super hot peppers like Reaper and X and stuff. She calls them cheater pieces because they're teeny. But one little teeny piece lights up her whole plate.
Right.
And like my kids, well, they ate hot stuff until my wife started telling them, no, you know. But now they'll grab something from my plate, pretend to eat it, and then say, oh, I'm burning up. I need ice cream. You know, I can't finish my food. I need ice cream.
It's a scam to get ice cream. So just to kind of wrap this up, when you set out to sort of basically save yourself, mm-hmm. I guess, and to change your life and make it different, and it seems like that's happened, maybe not in the way you planned.
Though, not right? in the way I planned at all.
So how do you see, you know, what would that 18-year-old, you know, trying those hot noodles, how would he see the person, you know, how your life has turned out?
Couldn't even make it up if I tried. That person wouldn't think that this is this person. I never planned on living when I was 18. I only wanted to party. I wanted to do drugs and get drunk all day long. I didn't plan on living past 30. And then when I was coming up on 40, it was time to make a change, you know? So I don't think that person would recognize this person, you know, and I keep my word today. I don't just say yes, and then go off and do my own thing, you know? So it's a totally different, my life is totally different.
I didn't have enough chocolate plague to really put a hurting on me, but the burn lingered on my tongue for a good half an hour. And later that night, I coughed, and I could feel the dragon rise up in my throat. That feeling is something Ed Curry enjoys, but he's searching for something more. Not just for himself, but for others. I did some poking around after our conversation, and some medical researchers are, in fact, looking at the compounds in hot peppers as possible treatments for various diseases. So who knows? Maybe his chase for heat might also find some light. When he left, Ed handed me an unmarked bottle of hot sauce. It's not even on the market yet. He says it makes chocolate plague feel tame. I have this image in my head of walking across hot coals, except with my mouth. It doesn't sound appealing, but I haven't put the bottle in a drawer just yet. As Ed says, there's a thrill to getting that close to the flame. Southbound is a production of WFAE in Charlotte. Our producer is Nick Delacanal. Our audience engagement producer is Joni Deutsch. Our main theme music comes from Josh Turner. You can listen to this and other episodes of Southbound on the NPR One app, iTunes, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find Southbound on WFAE.org, where we have show notes for each episode with more information on that week's guest. See y'all next time. Thanks for listening.
Support for Southbound comes from WFAE members and Southeast Radiation Oncology Group, offering non-invasive alternatives to surgery and treatments in radiation oncology. Details at treatcancer.com. Additional support is provided by the Knight Foundation.